Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
Just a couple things I want to point out here. Obviously, all the good stuff. Be compassionate, be humble, don't pay back evil for evil, insult for insult. On the contrary, give a blessing, and then look at the next word. Since you were called to this. Did you ever know that God has called you to give a blessing and be a blessing to other people? I'll be honest with you, I never saw that until like this week when I was studying that. I was like, oh, that's a call. I have a call to be a pastor. I have a call to be a husband, a call to be a dad. All those callings on my life. I have a calling for other people to be a blessing to them.
What do you consider are your callings from God while on this earth? In today's message from Pastor Michael, he teaches you that some are called to be pastors, mothers, and teachers. But did you also know that you were called by God to be a blessing? God desires for you to be a blessing and to give blessings to others while on this earth. That's a high calling from the Lord. And because God has blessed you, you can be a blessing to others. Find ways this week where you can reach out and bless people. Now here's Pastor Michael in the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 with today's edition of Burning Hearts.
So here we're ending the six verses that were towards the women. The word submit was used a couple times. You talk about submission today and people don't like it, especially with the women's movement and everything. Let me say, there's submission all the way through 1 Peter. We are all called to submit, okay? Matter of fact, and elsewhere in the Bible, it says that we are to husbands, in the context of husbands and wives, that we are to submit one to another, okay? So that submission is not, some guy, because I can't tell you how many times this has happened where some man will come up to me and I'm having a problem with my wife, she won't submit. And I'll be like, yeah, because you're a donkey. Why would she submit to a donkey? I don't understand. You know, do you think just because that verse is in the Bible that it gives you permission to be a jerk? That is not okay. You know? So I really believe that you have to be really careful with this idea. We submit to each other, but also there are roles, and we could talk about that. I do believe God has made men and women different. Okay? This whole controversy right now with this man who is competing in the Women's Olympics weightlifting. Have you seen this? You know, because he's a transgender or whatever, and they're letting him be in the Olympics. You know what? And I've been reading a lot about it. If I were a woman weightlifter, I would not be in the Olympics. I would boycott. I'd be like, this is ridiculous. This dude won awards as a man, and he's, you know, anyway, I'm getting on a soapbox. I'm sorry. It's weird when you start talking about gender and roles and things like that, but I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that it's in Galatians chapter 5. I think around verse 28, where it says, in Christ, there's not Jew or Gentile, there is not slave or free, there is not male or female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus, it says. So, women and men, in spiritually with the Lord, man, we are equal. No one's greater. Okay, I'm just telling you that. But it's ridiculous to say that God didn't make us differently. Very, very important. Okay, now we get the husbands. Verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with a weaker partner, showing them honor as co-heirs of the grace of life so that your prayers will not be hindered. There is a lot in that verse. Let me start with this. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. That idea of living with your wives. We say, well, of course I live with my wives. We're in the same house. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you are alongside them. The Greek word is para, but it's I'm coming alongside her and I live in an understanding way. That's interesting, right? Let me tell you what most men are like, and I'll pick on the guys here. Most men are fix-it guys. Like if Kelly starts telling me something, I'm ready to fix it. I go, honey, oh, you can stop talking. I know how to fix it. Just be quiet, and I'll tell you how to do it. Well, this is what you need to do. Kelly loves when I do that. She loves it. It's like, yeah, honey. Because and I remember one time she told me in tears, she's like, I just want you to listen to me. I don't need you to fix me. Right? Why, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Okay? Guys, we're in that mode of not really listening and understanding. As a matter of fact, a good marital counselor. Any marital counselor, a good, what to me separates them, good from not good one, is one who will listen to you, but also will work on the husband and wife's communication with each other. Because more often than not, the issue, it could be finances, it could be mother-in-law, it could be whatever, fill in the blank. But when you really boil it down, you start seeing the communication stinks. And so a good counselor will look at that and say, okay, you're not hearing what your husband's trying to say to you right now. So I'm going to repeat what he's saying. Da, da, da. Does that make sense? Living in an understanding way. Kelly and I do this thing, and we've done it because we went to a seminar and we learned it. But back in the old days, when you went to McDonald's, you would drive up to the, we call it drive-through talking. You drive up, and now they have a screen, and you, everything you say gets put on the screen. You guys know what I'm talking about? But before that, what did they do? They'd say, I'd like a Big Mac, large fries, and a medium chocolate shake.
Okay, we've got a Big Mac and onion rings and a vanilla shake.
No, I'm sorry. Let me say it again. I want a Big Mac, large fries, and a large chocolate shake.
Okay, we got a Big Mac and a large fry and a large, did you say a large chocolate?
Yes, a large chocolate shake.
Okay.
You know why McDonald's did that back in the day? Because they were losing millions of dollars because of miscommunication. People would drive up to the second window and they would get the wrong thing and they'd be ticked. And so they were losing business and people were mad and they were losing food. And so they said, we got to start. I don't care how old you are, you're 14 years old or however old you have to be to work at McDonald's. You repeat what the stinking person says and you make sure that they say you got it right. Now they've upped it and we've got the screens and you can see everything. Why do they do that? Communication is key, right? Right? So Kelly and I, this is what we do when we're having a tiff. Happens once every 12 or 13 years. I have to stop myself from fixing, and I have to listen, and I have to say, Kelly, you can do this with me because we do this all the time, but what did you just hear me say, Kelly? I just talked for 2 minutes. What did you just hear me say? Well, I hear you say that you think that this should happen and this should happen. I'm like, okay, no, that's not what I said. I'm sorry, you said vanilla shake. I said chocolate. Let me say it again. And I say it again. Now, what did you hear me say, Kelly? And I don't say it like a pompous jerk like I'm saying it right now, but I just say, what do you hear me say? And she'll say, well, I hear you saying this, and I'll say, that's right. And then she'll talk, and she'll say, Michael, what do you hear me say? And I'll say, well, I'm hearing you say that, you know, I'm a pompous jerk. She goes, oh, yeah, that's really correct. Okay? So at the end of our conversation, it's amazing how drive-through talking has saved a lot of our argument. I'm not even joking with you guys right now. This is a serious tool that you can put in your toolbox that'll help you. And I believe it goes with live, men, husbands, live with in your wives in an understanding way. You need to try to understand them. Sometimes they're just hurting. Sometimes she just needs to talk. I remember one time I was driving home. This is in outside of Kansas City. And I'm driving home from church, from work. And I passed a garage sale and there was a treadmill. And I stopped and I pulled over and I bought the treadmill. It was $40. And I thought, $40 treadmill, this is awesome. And I had a little truck. So the guy helped me put it in the truck and I went in and I coasted into our driveway and I lifted up the garage real quietly and I got the thing out and I rolled it into the garage and I plugged it in. And then I went upstairs and I'm like, Kelly, I got you something coming downstairs. I'm so excited. And she's like, why would you get me? Ah! So she comes down the stairs and we go in the garage and she looks at the treadmill and starts crying. Like not happy tears. I'm going, what? What did I do? You think I'm fat? It's like, no, I don't. No, that's why you always say stuff. I should go for one. And all of a sudden, it turned into this big deal. And all I did was buy a treadmill. And I realized later that how she interpreted that was not how I meant it. Does that make sense? Miscommunication. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this isn't a marriage seminar here. But I mean, I'm just telling you, for us, I had to learn that I'm not the things that I come out of my mouth are not always the things that I meant in my heart. Anybody relate to that, by the way, that statement? Okay? You know, it's like my foot was in my mouth so far. I'm so sorry. I wasn't thinking about how that, blah, 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 blah. By the way, it says this too. It says, live with them in an understanding way in verse 7, as with a weaker partner. Okay, I'll just tell you, that's not really a good translation in this. The old King James and the new King James says, as with a weaker vessel, and that's actually better. And here's the long Greek word. It is asthenes distroro. I totally murdered that word. That's not what it is, but it's really long. Who cares? But this is what it means. When it says weaker vessel or weaker partner, atenetistero. It literally means the one who is more fragile or the one who is more feeble. And the idea is in these days of pottery. So if you had like a pot, like you're making a pot on the wheel, you know, like with Demi Moore or whatever, you're making the pot. You can make the walls of the pot thick or you can make them really thin, okay? And so obviously the thinner the walls of the pot, it's fragile. Does that make sense? Let me give you an example for us. You see a guy, he's big old studly lumber dude or whatever, okay? He's a tough guy, big beard, got a six pack hidden in his beard. And so he's got a truck, of course, he's got a truck. So he's driving his truck and pulls over to the gas station to get some gas and goes in and buys one of them plastic cups, 32 ounce big gulp deals, right? Gonna drink soda. So he's just sucking down the soda. And when he's done, he opens up the little windows in his truck and he chucks that cup in the back of his truck. And it's bouncing around back there for like 6 months. He thinks he's gonna throw it away, but he doesn't care. It rains, it snows, the sun beats down on the cup, but it's a plastic big gulp cup. Who cares? That makes sense? Now, same guy, his wife says to him as he's leaving for work that day, honey, I'd like you to have, here's a spot of tea. And so she hands him a little porcelain that belonged to her great-grandmother. It's a porcelain little cup of tea. And he's like, oh, thank you, honey. She's like, just be careful, that belonged to great-grandma. So he takes it and he drinks it and he finishes that he's driving. Does he open the window and chuck that thing in the back? No, thank you. He doesn't! He probably grabs some old rags and t-shirts and he wraps it up and he puts it on the seat and he's all careful and scared thinking, why did my wife give me this today? This is so stupid. Whatever. I know that's a stupid illustration, but that's the difference here. Husbands, don't treat your wives like a big gulp cup. Treat them like a precious, fragile, feeble thing. But men for centuries have looked at this verse and said, well, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker partner. She's the weaker vessel and I'm the stronger vessel. So, and I want to say, no, that's not what it's saying. It's saying you should care for her more than she should have to care for you. Does that make sense? This is why we have traditions like opening the door and letting the woman go in first, or if we're on a sidewalk and traffic's going by, the man usually gets on towards the traffic. Why? Because we want to care. We want to protect. It's innately from Scripture, I believe. Does that make sense? All the wives are right now going, yeah, he hasn't opened the door for me in 25 years. That's what Kelly's saying. All right. Anyway, and the last line of verse 7, by the way, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Isn't that crazy? There's different things in the Bible that say that'll hinder your prayer, like lack of faith and different things like that. Here's a weird one. If you're not getting along with your wife, God's not going to answer your prayers. Have a nice day. Isn't that crazy? Like, how come nothing's going right? How come my life is everything is like stressful and everything like that? Could it be that you and your wife have been fighting like cats and dogs? You know what's funny? God doesn't listen to cats and dogs. I don't know why it's a big deal to him, but apparently it's a big hairy mama deal to him that husbands and wives, especially those that are Christian, get along. And I do think that it goes back to the very first thing I said tonight was that it's a statement to the world around us. All right, let's keep going. Verse 8, finally, all of you. So now Peter shifts gears just from picking on wives or picking on slaves or picking on husbands or whatever. He goes to all of you. He says, all of you be like-minded and sympathetic. Love one another, be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing since you were called for this, so that you may inherit a blessing. For the one who wants to love life and to see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Okay, I'm reading a lot here because we don't have a lot of time. But just a couple things I want to point out here. Obviously, all the good stuff. Be compassionate, be humble. Don't pay back evil for evil, insult for insult. On the contrary, give a blessing. And then look at the next word. Since you were called to this. Did you ever know that God has called you to give a blessing and be a blessing to other people? I'll be honest with you. I never saw that until like this week when I was studying that. I was like, well, that's a call. I have a call to be a pastor. I have a call to be a husband, a call to be a dad, all those callings on my life. I have a calling for other people to be a blessing to them. I don't know. I think that's an interesting thought. And he says, for the one, this is the one who wants to love life and see good day. How many of you want to love life? I do. How many of you want to see good day? No, actually, I'd rather see happy day. Oh, really? Okay, well, then don't follow these rules. If you want to see good days, if you want to love your stinking life, very simple. Be compassionate. Don't be so full of yourself. Think about other people. You know, all these things that he's dropping down. Amen? He says this, the one who wants to love life will see good days. Let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him keep his tongue from evil. The original language there, it's speaking, which is kind of interesting. Keep your tongue from evil. It's speaking literally of quit complaining. You want to love life and see good days? Quit whining. Quit complaining. That's interesting to me. Because it's a lot of, we can always find stuff to complain about, right? There's a million things to complain about. I can complain about my wife, and I can complain about the government, I can complain, whatever. I can always, but when I find myself constantly complaining all the time, you know what happens? My attitude follows what's coming out of my mouth. So it's true, James warns us against that. He says our tongue can start, it's like a spark, it can start a forest fire instead of fire ablaze, just your stupid little tongue by saying things. It's like the rudder of a ship, James says. And it guides this huge big ship, it'll take a totally different direction. Just one little thing, that's what your tongue is like. Watch what comes out of your mouth. And that's kind of what Peter's saying here. If you're constantly complaining, you're not gonna see good days. We can all find stuff to complain about, find something to be rejoicing in and praising God for. All right, verse 11, and let him turn away from evil and do what's good. There's that do what's good again. Turning from evil is literally I turn my back on things that are not good for me, okay? We talk a lot about this in our men's group on Tuesdays, but you know, I talked about it 2 weeks ago on my Sunday sermon when I was saying abstain from the evil desires because they wage war against your soul. Remember that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. But here's the deal. I have to turn my back on evil. If I want to see good days and be happy and love my life, man, literally I need to turn away from evil. It's just another restatement of what Peter's already said in chapter 2, verse 11. And do what is good. And again, that speaks of ministering and helping other people in your life. When a person is so self-centered and all they do is think of themselves, it is the first step that leads to is depression. I promise you. Like if you're ever talking to someone at work and they're dealing with depression and they're like, I'm just depressed all the time. The first thing, you don't have to tell them, say, you're really self-centered. Don't say that. But give them something to do for somebody else. Just say, hey, you know what? Why don't we go and make cookies and bring them to this old lady or whatever. When you start doing good for others, you start loving life. It's weird, but it's the truth. I think it's the principle of God's word. Verse 12, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. All of that, you guys, is a direct quote from Psalm 34. And I was going to talk a lot about this, but I'm just going to tell you that when David wrote Psalm 34, he was running for his life. He literally had to pretend like he was insane. He's scratching at the door because he thought that the king was good when he heard that this is the guy that killed Goliath, that David was going to be murdered. So David had to pretend like he was insane and he's running for his life. And it's a really scary time. And that is, we're told right above verse 1 of chapter 34 in Psalms, that that's when David wrote that song. And Peter is quoting that song. Okay? Both Peter and David, by the Holy Spirit, are telling us something. And here's the lesson. And I could talk a lot about this, but the lesson is this. Because when you go back down through Psalm 34 and you read about he's running for his life, and then all of a sudden he's like, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's all in Psalm 34. And you see David's praising God in the midst of him running for his life. And I think Peter's quoting it here because he's talking to those who are going to be going through suffering. And he's saying, be those who praise the Lord. Bless the name of the Lord. Yeah, but everything looks really bad right now. I don't care. Bless the name of the Lord. It looked bad for David too, and yet he was blessed. Verses 13 through 16, I preached on Sunday. You know, share the hope that's within you, and we talked a lot about that. So look down at verse 18. We're going to finish this. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive in the spirit. Okay? What's Peter saying? He's saying, guys, when times get tough, remember what Jesus has gone through. Remember the cross. Look to the tree. I know what it's like when times get tough, Peter would say. You know, the night that Peter denied Jesus three times, there was another one of the guys that messed up pretty royally. His name was Judas, right? Judas, so follow this. Peter denies Jesus three times. Massive mistake, okay? But the rest of Peter's story is that he goes to, the Lord forgives him. He looks to the cross. He sees what Jesus has done for him. And Peter spends the rest of his life ministering, looking to the cross and ministering in the name of Jesus, right? How about Judas? What's the rest of his story? He messes up royally, realizes he messes up royally, tries to give the money back. And then instead of looking to the tree that the one who would die for his forgiveness, he looks to a tree to hang himself. Does that make sense? We all have those two choices, by the way. When we go through hard times, when we've made a mistake, we can look to a tree. We can look to the tree and see the one who hung there for us, or we can look to a tree and try to hang ourselves and just peter out in guilt, if I can say it that way. Judas out in guilt. Peter says, look to the cross, right? Who in the past were disobedient when God patiently waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared in a few, in it, a few, that is eight people were saved through water. Here he's talking about Jesus descending down into hell. I preached a sermon called What in Hell Happened During COVID. It is by far, I've preached it in every church I've ever been to. It is the number one message I've ever preached that people have requested. When we made DVDs, we made over 2,000 DVDs of that message and gave it out, I remember, and that was a big deal for our church. It's called What in Hell Happened. If you go to our website and look it up, it talks basically what happened when Jesus said, it is finished, and the Bible says he gave his spirit. You know, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He died on the cross. From that moment to when the stone rolled away and he came out of the tomb, what was Jesus doing for those 3 days? Was he just asleep? Well, we have scriptures like this that say that he was busy. He was doing something. So what was he doing? And I take a lot of different scriptures. I actually, if we had time, which we don't, I could go through all that again. But if you're interested in that, it is my very favorite message I've ever preached in my life. And it's called What in Hell Happened. You can find that on our website. All right, so that's what he's talking about there. And then he goes into baptism, which corresponds to this. He says, now saves you, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers subject to him. So he's talking about baptism. Baptism, you guys, is an outward sign of what God's doing. It's a pledge, he says here. It's of what God's doing in my heart. Doesn't save you by in and of itself. You guys can't see what God's doing in my chest. You can't see how much God loves me and what I've done. And so when I get baptized, I'm showing the world this is what Jesus has done. It's very, very important. And the whole relation to Noah here is that the world was covered with water and wiped out. Why? Because of their sin and their rebellion. And the water, and you know, wiped all the sin out of the world, and the ark lifted up the eight people, and they were saved. That ark is a picture of our salvation. The world, the sin, the wages of sin is death, we know that, but our salvation lifts us above out of that, and that's all represented by baptism. So that's what's there. And then the last thing, it just talks about all these things that are subject to the Lord. We've been talking about subject slaves to masters and wives to husbands and subject to the word of God and all these different things that we're subject to. And I love that the last line is subject to him. Who's subject to him? Demons. All of us. But even demons. Greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Amen. And so listen, there is nothing that is higher than our God. He's greater than all. So we can easily submit to him.
You've been listening to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft. Pastor Michael has more to share from the book of 1 Peter, so be sure to join us again. In the meantime, you can learn more about the Burning Hearts radio ministry by visiting our website, thealpinechapel.com. This site will also introduce you to the church behind the ministry, the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. We'd love to have you join us for worship. We meet together to learn from God's word and spend time praising his name. It's an incredible time of fellowship. If you're in the area, make plans to join us Saturday at 6 p.m. or Sunday at 9 a.m. You'll find all the information you need, including directions, at thealpinechapel.com. If you're not in the area, you can still be a part of our Sunday morning worship. We're streaming this service live right from our website as well as on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, come follow our page for all the latest updates and event invitations. You can follow the link at our website or just search for the Alpine Chapel. We're on Instagram too. If you ever have any questions about what you heard on Burning Hearts or would like to ask us to pray with you, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can send us a message on Facebook or just visit the contact page at thealpinechapel.com. One more time, that's thealpinechapel.com. Well, we've officially come to the end of today's message. Place a marker in your Bible and make plans to join Pastor Michael again for another look at 1 Peter, right here on Burning Hearts.